talk this morning about being contradictory Christians. Now, I like that title better than the title of the book that inspired the message this morning. Craig Groeschel has recently written a book that has been recently released. And the title is The Christian Atheist. It sounds like a contradiction. And it is a contradiction. But the thesis of the book is we as Christians, sometimes by how we live, we deny the very existence of God. The book is based upon one scripture verse. And so that's the verse that I'm going to use this morning, and it is going to be the springboard of the messages throughout this summer. Take a look at it in your outline, on the screen, in your Bibles. It's just one verse, Titus 1:17. They claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Contradictory Christians are those who believe in God but live as if He doesn't exist. As Paul boldly writes to Titus, they claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. My mother-in-law has been many things to me. My mother-in-law has been an encourager. She's been a great model of servant leadership. My mother-in-law has been to me a great prayer partner. And my mother-in-law has been at times the corrector of bad behavior. And so it brings me to 2 weeks ago tomorrow, as I was driving her across Interstate 80. And we began a conversation. Or should I correct myself and say, she began a conversation. I don't need to go and share the whole entire conversation, but the conversation started out like this. What do you think of Gerald? And we went on for a little bit about that. Gerald is my daughter's boyfriend. Then she shared, Gerald is having a difficult time understanding you. Hey, let him stand in line. A lot of people have a difficulty understanding me. She said, well, Gerald's problem is he's been to church a number of times and he likes you at church, but he's not sure that he likes you at home. I said, could you help me to understand that a little bit more? And to sum it all up, my mother-in-law was basically saying that my words and my actions at home did not match my pulpit presence. And I want you to know that was a stake into my heart. I live for consistency. I want that which I say and that which I do. I want it to truly be a reflection of my belief system, my trust, my faith in Jesus Christ. But the reality is sometimes my life contradicts my faith in Christ. As much as I don't want to admit it, sometimes my actions deny God's presence in my life. You might assume that a pastor doesn't struggle with consistency and faithful living, but this one does. How about you? Do you ever struggle with consistency and faithful living? Does your life sometimes contradict your faith in God? That's what I want to talk about throughout this series this summer. Contradictory Christians. When how we live our lives it contradicts what we know to be right and to be good. We go to church, give a periodic nod of consent, participate in communion, but still live in shame for our past. You've acknowledged the love of God, but you're still not convinced that God totally loves you. You believe God exists, but not enough to go to Him daily in prayer. Perhaps you're like many well-meaning Christians. You know what God wants you to do, but you still do whatever you want to do. You believe God can do anything, but you don't believe that you can change. You believe God's in control, but you still spend a whole lot of time in worry. These are all real issues. These are the type of issues that I want to talk about over this summer in the midst of our messages. I don't think any of us want to be the person that Paul was talking about when he wrote to Timothy. They claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. Do you realize there is a difference between believing and knowing? A recent Gallup poll says that 94% of Americans believe in God. That's a high percentage. But if we take a look at scriptures and we look at the culture of America, I would say that it's nowhere close to 94% that actually know and have an intimate relationship with God. Where the confusion lies is that people don't understand the difference between believing and knowing, and they don't understand that there are different levels of intimacy in knowing God. Some of us know God, you can fill in the blank there in your outline, by reputation. Like when we hear about someone else, we know them by what has been shared about them to us. A lot of people's information and their belief about God is secondarily as they've been told about God. They've just simply received that information. They know God by reputation. Then there are those of us who know God in our memories. We've truly experienced God's goodness. We've experienced His grace. We've experienced His love in the past. And note the word, in the past. But like an old childhood friend, at one point of time, we spent a lot of time together. But we went on in life, and we remember them as a childhood friend, but we don't really have a relationship with them now. And some of us know God intimately. This is the kind of loving knowledge that God promises to us when we seek Him, that we read about in Jeremiah. When we are thirsty for God, God satisfies our longing. As we continue to seek God, we grow in an intimacy with Him. When we hear God's voice, we recognize it instantly. We'll talk to God all the time, and we miss the conversation when the circumstances in which we live in distract us from His presence. We love God, we trust God, and we know God. Now, someone here this morning might be thinking, though, oh, wait a minute, I believe in God. I believe in God. Isn't that enough? I mean, a lot of people don't believe in God, but I do. Isn't that what He wants for me? Is belief simply what God wants from us when we look in James and He talks about the demons believe in God? Is it enough that we simply believe in God? Obviously, there's a whole lot more to the whole Christian thing of believing in God. Growing up, I grew up in what I would call a typical Christian family. And Just a footnote, I'm not looking for any of you to be parts of typical Christian families. I want you to be very atypical. But the typical Christian family is that they, yes, believe in God. They consent to their belief in God by attending church. They consent to their belief in God by doing good to their neighbors. They consent to believe in God by participating in things in the life of the church. They consent to believing in God by periodically praying before a meal. That would pretty much describe what family I grew up in, a typical Christian family. But understood, my knowledge about God was all pretty much secondhand knowledge. I received what was given to me. I acknowledged that God existed. But did I know Him? No, I did not know Him. And because I did not know Him, I continued to make the rules for my life. You see, there's a huge difference in our lives between just believing that there is a God and continuing to live however we want to live, and truly knowing that there is a God Almighty that wants to have a personal relationship with us and live within us. Listen to 1 John 2. We know that we have come to know Him if we what? Obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Some would say, wow, that's a little bit harsh, isn't it? And I would say, no, that's written by someone who truly loves us and has what's best for us at the center of his heart. We need to keep in mind that we're created to reflect the very character and the nature of God. Our obedience to His commands is how we reflect our relationship with Him. It should concern us that Jesus taught in John 7 that we're recognized by the fruit of our lives. And not everyone who says, and here is John 7:21, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all sorts of good things? And what are some of those good things? Well, I believe in God. And we define that as a good thing. Lord, didn't we believe in you? And Jesus will say to such individuals, and you wanted no part of a relationship with me. Go away. Countless well-intentioned good people believe in God, but they don't know Him personally. Many of us look the part, or we think we're Christians. Why? Oh, because we're not Buddhist. We're not Muslim. And so, what's the conclusion? Well, we're Christians. But our lives don't reflect the character and the nature of God. What's the issue? The issue for me is not knowing God well enough. I know some golf legends. Now, I understand if you don't know any of these names, then this is a lousy illustration. But I had the privilege, before Payne Stewart was killed in an airplane accident, to carry the stanchion, which is just the thing that if you've ever seen a professional golf tour where somebody carries the name of the golfer, I got to carry Payne Stewart's name and walk inside the ropes with him at the U.S. Open. The next day, I got to carry Jack Nicklaus's name. Okay, I had the privilege through somebody that I knew in the Cranberry Township who was a photographer, and he got me a press pass. And so I got to walk with another U.S. Open champion, Jim Furyk, inside the ropes and actually talk to him as he's going along playing in the L.A. Open. Arnold Palmer. I saw Arnold Palmer at his home course in Latrobe. I got to share with Arnold about how my cheap knockoff Arnold Palmer clubs, how my 5-iron had broken. And he made arrangements, and my clubs actually that I have, they aren't very valuable, believe me, they only have sentimental value. Arnold Palmer arranged to give me those clubs. Now, it sounds like I know a lot of golf legends, doesn't it? Ask any of them if they know me. Who? Would probably be the answer that you would get, I'm certain. There's a difference between just knowing or believing and knowing. Let's rewind the tape back 2,000 years. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. Now, these are people who had experienced God, but not well enough to avoid getting sucked back into the life of legalism. Galatians 4, Paul wrote, "Formerly you did not know God, but now you know God. How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" See, they didn't know God. They knew God. But what degree did they know Him? Not well enough that they didn't continue to be sucked back into an old and former way of life. Paul's essentially saying, you know God, but not well enough to avoid your old habits, the attitudes that hurt you and your closeness to God. Now, some 2,000 years later, we have to ask ourselves, is this us too? Do we believe in God? Do we know God, but not well enough? Maybe we sort of know God. Maybe sometimes in the past we've prayed and asked Jesus to come into our lives. Maybe we have a basic understanding of God. Maybe once we generally felt close to Him, but we don't know Him very well. The psalmist David describes his relationship with God. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 63. Now understand, you've sung this, you've shared this psalm in a litany this morning. Now let me share the first 5 verses again with you. And think about David's relationship with God. Does this describe your relationship with God? Because it describes one who knows God, and because he knows God, he desires to know God more and more and more. Oh God, you are my God. It's not somebody else's God. There's a recognition of a personal relationship. You are my God. Earnestly I seek after you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody when you weren't with them? Man, you just wanted more than anything to be with them. That's the relationship that David has with his God. I earnestly seek you. I want more than anything to be with you. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. David is able to see the hand of God at work. I've seen you. I've beheld you in your glory, in your majesty. Then in verse 3 he says, because of your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. That phrase is better than life. What's better than life? And you can look at all the things that we have material. You can look at all the relationships that we have. Because your love is better than life.
I will glorify you. In verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. It describes one who had an intimate relationship, an intimate knowledge of God that led him to want to know him more and more. So I have a question for you. What do you call God? You see, David also wrote Psalm 9, and he said there, those who know your name will trust in you. So what do you call God? The way you address God or refer to God might reveal the depth of your intimacy with God. Let me illustrate. What you call me clearly reveals how well you know me. And so I can answer the phone, and the person on the other line says, Mr. Seth, yes, I want to talk to you about your phone service. Person knew my name, but they didn't know me. Susan and I could go to a restaurant. We could go up to the hostess, a table for two. And so eventually we hear, Seth, party for two, knows my name, but doesn't really know me. There are those that would call me Pastor Seth. It doesn't mean that they necessarily know me. They just know what I am. They know me by my title. But then there's also those who call me John. It says there's some level of intimacy within that relationship. We may have done some things together. We've spent some time together. And they're more personal. They call me by my first name. Now, if you hear me called by Seth, you know, and that's tough for some church people to call the pastor by his last name, just Seth. But when I was in high school and all through my college days, that's all I went by. That's what they called me. It wasn't until I got into my first church that I was ever referred to anything else but Seth. So if somebody just hollers, hey, Seth, that's truly a person that we have some history. We've done some things together. But then there's those few that they have the honor, they have the privilege, they have, I hope, the joy of saying Dad. And pop, terms of endearment, terms of love, and terms of intimacy, and terms of a relationship. So I just want to know, you know, think about it. What do you call God? Does it reveal your relationship to Him? This is a paragraph from Groschel's book. It says, if you know God, you're likely to be far more specific with Him, and the words you use will reflect your understanding of Him. If God has graciously forgiven you of your sins, you'll gratefully acknowledge Him as Savior. Perhaps when you pray, you call God healer because He's healed your broken heart. Maybe you call Him comforter because He has come alongside and provided company in your misery. Maybe you call Him fortress or rock of strength. Maybe you found yourself backed into a corner with nowhere to turn, creditors calling, and He's provided for you, and you call Him provider. When you feel totally alone, perhaps you call Him friend. Maybe your earthly father has never been there for you, and to you, God is Abba, Father. What do you call God? Your answer may be a clue as to how well you know Him. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Do you know Him?
Understand that if you've come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm not sure that I do know God, I understand that feeling because that's where I was for the first 18 years of my life. Sure, I believed that there was a God, but I did not know Him or have a relationship with Him. If you don't know Him, understand that you can know Him. If you once knew Him, and you remember that day when you walked in intimacy, you can again walk in intimacy with Him. It's not hard. It's not following a long set of rules. It is not legalism. It is about a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's about acknowledging your own sinfulness, your own shortcomings, your own failures, and giving them all over and recognizing that Jesus came, that He died for you, and that you might have the opportunity to invite Him to come in, to take up residency, so that you could have a relationship with Him. Over and over and over again, we find the same message, the same song being sung from Genesis to Revelation, and that is, if you'll seek Him, you will find Him. You can find Him by opening up the Word of God. He's right there, and He'll speak out of the words of Scripture into your situation. He will empower. He will forgive. That part of you that you don't think you can change, you can't. But He's willing to empower you, and He's willing to give you His Spirit to help you change. As you get to know Him better, you will change. He'll heal you from your hurts. He'll forgive what seems unforgivable. He'll change what seems unchangeable. Instead of living for yourself, you'll begin to live for Christ and for eternity. Your heart will begin to break for the things of God. I'm praying today that you, throughout this summer, will commit to knowing God. Summer's always a time and a season when we do some things differently, don't you, over the summer? It's not like the same old, you know? Over the summer, we find opportunity and we do some things differently. Let's look at doing life differently. Let's look at doing life as David did life. Let's look at hungering. Let's look at thirsting. Let's look at desiring to know God more intimately. Let's spend time in His Word. Let's spend time talking to Him. Let's get to that point in our lives where it's not like, God? No. Let's just continually know that, God, You're with me. God, I see You. God, I sense Your presence. I sense Your power. I sense Your peace. God, thank You. Thank You. Pray with me. What is it that in this message has stirred your heart? In an attitude of prayer right now, will you respond? God speaks to each and every one of us differently. I don't know how God's speaking to you right now, but I believe that He is. Would you respond to what He's putting upon your heart? As He's asking something of you, would you be willing to say yes? Yes, that you might know Him? That you might grow in your relationship with Him? That which Paul that wrote a Titus would not be about you, that your life would not be one that would contradict the faith and the trust that you have in Jesus. There were those who were detestable and disobedient and unfit for doing anything good. You know that's not you. You know you don't desire that to be you. But yet sometimes our actions say that to others. If they say that to others, what do they say to God? Gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for our disobedience. Forgive us when our lives do not reflect your life. May we not live contradictory Christian lives. May we live lives consistent with you. And may our very lives bring glory, honor, and praise to your name. And may our lives draw others to your name. Lord Jesus, may we this week get to know you better. And may we walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and share with us? Great hymn that might help us to just speak the message in a